Good morning. When will this journey be over? Where is the end of all our traveling? How long will we wander, thirsty and hungry, strangers in a strange land? Deliver us, Lord, from our misery. Hi, Jasper. Hi, Emerson. Yes. You have said that you will give us water that flows from the rock, that you will quench our thirst, that never again will our souls be parched. But we do not listen to your voice. We ignore what we see around us, the evidence of your gift. Asking for new signs, we demand proof of your grace. We harden our hearts against you. We draw from the wells that run dry. We sip on that which does not satisfy. You have met us at the well and offered us a spring of water gushing to eternal life. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that you are truly the Savior of the world. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, God of wonder and glory, this world around us is awesome. You created it. You continue to hold it together, even as we threaten to tear it apart. God of justice and righteousness, to you we looked for the truth. You are the ultimate judge. Your wisdom cuts through the lies. God of grace and mercy, the love you have shown us in Jesus is more than we deserve. Your arms are wide open, like a waiting father for his prodigal son, ready to welcome and restore. We come to you just now thirsting for your living water. Guide us to the streams of your wonder and glory, your justice and righteousness, your grace and mercy, that we may drink and be satisfied, renewed for our continuing journey with Jesus. This we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll turn to your hymnals, number 149.
Please stand if you're able and sing along with 149. Great God of wonders, this is a hymn of praise. Men, be ready for some gymnastics in the second part. But those who were in choir are well prepared. That's a plug for choir.
Thank you.
So again, welcome this morning, and welcome to any guests, and as you know, my grandkids are here, so welcome to them. Are there any other guests who'd like to be introduced or would like to introduce themselves? If not, welcome here anyways. Now, if we return to our announcements for this morning, if we turn to number 3, if you'll notice the display in front here, the visual for the third Sunday of Lent represents the rock from which life-giving water bursts forth. The bucket is for carrying the water, and the blue cloth represents the stream spilling out of the rocks, showing us a living water that God has made available to us when we thirst for and open ourselves up to God. It's quite dramatic. Thank you again. Thanks to everyone for supporting our annual fundraising Schmorg. Through participation, attendance, and financial contributions, proceeds, date, total, to date, is $11,503.40. And that's before expenses. So special thanks to the events people, committee, and the hard working and recruiting of all the people out there, and I really enjoyed it. And number 5, thanks goes out to everyone who overwhelming response to the Sunday School MCC kit fundraisers. The chocolate was good, and they raised $1,917.85. Well done. Choir rehearsals for Good Friday and Easter Sunday start this morning. We've heard it already this morning, and will continue on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Everyone who enjoys singing is welcome to join in. Our conductor is Carol Martins. And also, too, we have another one here from the Langs that would like to cordially invite everyone to view the Junos at their own place. Lages, sorry. I'll call it old, a senior's moment. Let's put it that way. Yep, Allison is singing along with several of her fellow singers in the Winnipeg Youth Chorus with Classified and Serena Ryder. So she's good for her. Are there any other announcements up there? Okay, now it's sharing time. Is there anyone out there with anything to share? I have a few that there's communication between me and my wife. We've got something to share, but I'll share a little bit later. Our sympathies go out to Jake Berg. His brother, Bernhard Berg of Alberta, died on March the 20th. Also, sympathies and prayers go out to Harry and Diane Neufeldt, Wanda and Frank Neufeldt, Agnes Dirksen, on the death of George Neufeldt of Steinbach. Funeral is Tuesday, March 25th, in the Steinbach Evangelical Mennonite Church at 2 o'clock. And also, too, we have two other announcements of death and condolences. Please read and remember those families in your prayers. As you get older, your emotions run a little bit high, so if you'll forgive me. Okay, Linda will do it then. She's stronger than I am on the emotion side of it, right?
Hello, I'm Linda Dick, as you know. Tomorrow, actually, our daughter Ashley is going in for some surgery. She's having a lump removed from her jaw area. A CT scan has come back inconclusive. Biopsy is inconclusive. They've pushed the surgery up to remove what's there, and they'll be removing that and surrounding tissue and then we wait 4 to 6 weeks for the pathology reports. We're trying to be positive, and we are pretty positive. They found this quickly. She found it quickly. The doctors have been very aggressive in moving forward. But if you could keep her, she's 33, you could keep her family, her young children, her husband, and the doctors in your prayers over the next few days, we'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? So now we will have some worship music. Fill my cup. So if there's any children out there, if they want to come up for a story, and then they will sit and watch the drama, and then they will have a little bit of a story, a little bit afterwards as well.
Ivan, Jean, Astrid, Luca, is it Luca? You're Luca, right? And your brother? Hi, Jasper. Oh, I like your dinosaurs. Okay, in a little while, these people that are sitting in the front row are going to do a drama that's like a little play for us. And I just thought it might be easier for us to understand what's going on if we knew what the story was about. So the play that they're going to do, the drama,
is going to be talking about a Bible story, and it happens during the time that Jesus is alive and walking on the earth. And he goes to a town in Samaria. How many of you have ever heard of Samaria before? How about Samaritans? No? Well, then I'll tell you. Usually, Jewish people, which is Jesus was a kind of a Jewish person, and Samaritan people, they usually didn't talk to each other. It's kind of like when you're six and you're a girl and you don't want to talk to a boy. It's kind of like that. There was no real rule. It just was, we don't want to talk to them. But Jesus was at this well, and he saw a lady coming, and he asked her to give him a drink of water. And she was very surprised, because usually men like him wouldn't talk to a woman like her. So she said, well, you don't even have a bucket, and how are you going to, I'm surprised that you're talking to me. And he said, well, if you talk to me and listen to me, I can give you water, and when you drink it, you'll never be thirsty ever again. And then she said, well, but you don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get me this water? And sort of like sometimes when we hear Jesus talking, he's talking about water, but he doesn't really mean water. He's talking about something else. And what he wants, and this point of the story, is that he wants us to depend on him just like we depend on water. And did you know that you can live for a long, long time without eating, but only 4 days without water? If you don't drink or eat anything that has water in it for 4 days, you'll die. Did you know that? It's very important to drink. And the point of the story and the drama today is that Jesus wants us to depend on him just like we depend on water. He wants us to need him just as much as we need water. So let's watch what the youth is going to do, and then we'll talk about it a little bit after, okay? So turn around so you can see.
This must be Jacob's well. It's hot out here. Jimmy, could you get us some water from the well while I sit here and rest?
I guess so. Refreshing. Ah, nothing like some cold water on a hot day. So hot that we probably shouldn't be out in the sun. Can we find a place with a pool or some AC to cool off?
Jimmy, they say that the bearded man is here in Sky City, and that he interviewed, and that he invented water that stops you from being thirsty ever again. What a great story. We just drank from a well, and I'm already thirsty. We need a catchy name for this story. Let's call it Wayne's Splashtastic Miraculous Water.
Wayne, do you just make up that name? I thought the bearded man's name started with a J, like Jared or Josiah or something like that. Anyways, it's so hot out here that no one is around that we can interview.
Since we don't know the bearded man's name, I'm calling him Wayne. Wayne is a good name. People like good names. Look, there's someone sitting over there in the shade. Maybe they know something about Wayne's water. Excuse me, who are you? And can you tell us something about Wayne's Splashtastic Miraculous Water?
Hi, I'm Sammy. I don't know what you're talking about, but I do have a story about water for you.
Great. Jimmy, are you getting this? Hi, I'm ace reporter Marty Martin, coming to you live from Sky City. It's a scorcher out here, folks. Temperatures have reached record high, and we advise that everyone stay at home and keep hydrated. With this heat, wouldn't it be great if you could just drink a glass of water that could keep you hydrated forever? We found a local man with a story about what people are calling Wayne's Splashtastic Miraculous Water. Sam, tell us about your story.
Well, my neighbor was getting water from the well 2 days ago, and she met this bearded man.
You must be talking about Wayne.
No, the man's name was Jesus. We're not too sure about him at first, because he comes from the other side of town. But he was really friendly to my neighbor. He offered her water, and would keep her from being ever thirsty again.
Wayne's splash-tastic miraculous water. Now, does this water work? Have you sampled any of the water? Are you first three? Where is this fellow now?
All right, now slow down. There's more to the story. Jesus knew all kinds of things about my neighbor, even before they'd even met. It turns out he's a prophet.
Wait a second. You're telling me about Wayne's splash-tastic miraculous water, and now you're telling me this so-called Jesus is a prophet? I don't see the connection.
Well, Jesus says his water will grant eternal life. Get it? He's offering us eternal life. When my neighbor told me about Jesus, it sounded like some fancy party trick. My neighbor's not the most trusted person around here. I invited Jesus to stay at my home for 2 days, and I heard for myself.
Let me get this straight. There isn't any actual water?
The water means that God provides for our needs. Jesus came here to tell us this. Sometimes that means God provides actual water to drink when we're thirsty, like the water in the well.
But I am thirsty all the time, and it's so much effort to pull out those heavy buckets from the well.
You're telling me I'm going to always have to do it.
You still have to use the well to get drinking water, especially in this heat. But Jesus is talking about water for our thirsty spirits.
Where is Jesus now? I would love to get an interview with him and seeing about getting some of this water.
I just left this morning. A guy like that keeps pretty busy.
It sounds like Sky City has some real excitement lately with Jesus' splash-tastic miraculous water. I'm not quite sure what this all means myself, but this has been an eyewitness exclusion. Until next time, keep cool, keep hydrated, and if you see something, say something.
Okay, guys. What was the weather like in that story? It was very hot, yes. And during those times, they were meeting at a place. Do you remember what the place was that they were meeting? Where were they meeting? They were standing around a place. The well, that's right. They were meeting around a well. And did Jesus really give water that would never, you would never be thirsty from? Is that really what happened? No. Were they talking about water? I think Sammy really had the idea, right? Sammy said it's not about water. It's about letting Jesus help us and trusting him, right? Okay, so we can just pray. Can you fold your hands? God, thank you for giving us water when we are thirsty and food when we are hungry. Thank you for giving us friends and family so that we can help each other. Please be with the people in the world who are hungry and thirsty. Remind us to be thankful for what we have and to share our blessings with others. Amen. And I'll see you downstairs. Have fun.
Please open your hymn books to number 506. This is the theme song for Lent that we'll be singing together.
Shall we bow for a word of prayer? God, meet us at the wells, where we are lonely, where we are forgotten, where we are hurt by others, and give us drink. Drink of grace that brings life again. God, we pray for those in our congregation that have lost loved ones, for those who have illnesses in their families, for those who struggle day to day with life and its hardships, for those who have many things to celebrate. God, speak to us in the feasting places, where the sinners gather, where the prejudices are made known, where our histories are broadcast, and give us to drink of the forgiveness that brings peace again. God, renew all that we are and have been. Fill us with a new future. Inspire us with recreation. Pull us into the resurrection and give us to drink from the promise of heaven. Amen. Now we will have music by the worship and the offering. John chapter 4, verses 5 to 42. It's a long passage, but let me tell you a story. As Jesus was walking to Jerusalem, he had to go through Samaria, and he hit a small town called Sychar. And in this town, there was a well, Jacob's well, that had been given to the Syrians or to Joseph so that they could feed their cattle, drink the water, But as Jesus was traveling through, he was tired. It was 6 o'clock in the evening, supper time. He gets to the well and he says to his disciples, go find me something to eat. I'm hungry. And I think you guys are hungry too. It's been a long day. So they go off and Jesus sits down beside the well. And soon, out of the town, comes a woman, a Samaritan woman. She's walking, she's carrying her bucket. But why would she not be out here with the rest of the people when it is in the cooler of the day? This is the heat. You should be at home making supper, being with your family. But no, she's coming to the well. She's coming to draw water because is she ashamed? I don't know. Is she rejected? I don't know. But as she gets there, Jesus asks her, woman, give me some water to drink. And the woman turns to Jesus and says, how do you, a Jew, ask a Samaritan to give water? You want me to give you water? And Jesus says, if you'd be asked, you should be asking me for water, for the living water. Come on. How are you going to get water out of the well? You don't even have a bucket. You can't draw this water out. Jesus said, it is not the water that you drink. It is the living water. It'll give you eternal life. And the woman said, give me of this water. But Jesus says to her, no, you go and get your husband. But the woman says, I have no husband. Jesus says, yeah, you're right. You've had five husbands, not just one. And the man you're living with is not your husband. And the woman looks at Jesus and says, are you a prophet? And then they begin to do some theological discussion when Jesus is there. He says, we worship here in the mountains, and you worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, no, you're actually worshiping the unseen. We as Jews, we think we know what we have and where salvation comes from. But it is not, there will be a time when it won't matter where you worship or who you worship. You will be worshiping the Father in spirit. And in truth. So the woman ends up saying, you know, I know out there in the stories and stuff, there is the Messiah coming. And Jesus says to her, I am he. Now at this point, the disciples return. And they're kind of amazed that Jesus is sitting at the woman and talking to a well. Because no good man would be talking to a woman at a well, especially at this time of night. But they didn't ask Jesus or ask the woman, what do you seek or what are you doing here? And shortly thereafter, the woman left the well. She left her water pot. The thing she came to the well for was water, but she left the pot to carry the water back. She never even drew any water. And she went back into the city, and through the streets she was proclaiming, come meet a man. Come meet the man. Can you imagine the scoffing? Yeah, right. You telling us to meet a man when you can't, you've been married 5 times? How can we trust you? In the meantime, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they're talking about the harvest and the food. Jesus, eat. I'm not hungry anymore. This is not the food I need. The food that you see here, it's out there. Take a look. Open your eyes around you. The fields are white for harvest. They're ready for ripening. They're ready for the harvest. It's the ones, you are out there with the ones that sow. You're reaping the harvest, God's harvest. In the meantime, the woman has been very busy in the city, and the people are coming out. They can't believe. Because she told them, this man told me everything I'd done. He's a prophet. He's the Messiah. And the people came out, and they visited, and they talked to Jesus, and they asked him to stay for 2 days. And many people believed. So far the story.
Water is a fairly important commodity. Most of us understand that. Maslow put it as right on the bottom of the pyramid of needs. Those of you who study psychology can't live without it, as we heard in the children's story, 4 days. In Winnipeg, water is pretty much central to our lives as well, isn't it? In the last month or so, as the frost has gone down, people's pipes have been freezing. What are we at now? About 1,300? I think they said there's 5,000 or 6,000 on the waiting list waiting for their pipes to freeze. It's coming. Yeah. And while this is going on, water in another form, snow, has been piling up. And there's been a bit of melting, so that helps. But many of us, between the snow that they've scooped off the road and what we shovel off our drives and sidewalks, we've been running out of a lawn to put this stuff on. What do we do with this? Ship it to Florida. And in a month or a little more, we've got another wonderful thing to deal with. Flooding. Now, they tell us that this year it's average to low, but you know how these things go. If the cold weather sticks around for a while and the frost comes out really fast, or the melt happens really fast, rather, we're going to have a flood. Woohoo! Water is a part of our life. Sort of like the woman at the well. Every day coming to the well for water. Keep running out. Now, not all water is helpful. Sometimes water doesn't do what it's supposed to do, like quench our thirst and all that. It's detrimental. In fact, it's counterproductive. In southeastern Manitoba, where we come from, we have what's called overland flooding. That's so flat there, so when the water is an inch deep, it's a mile wide, right? And so the problem isn't just that the farmers can't get onto their fields to plant their fields. The problem is, especially when the water gets high enough to kind of be a little higher than some of the retention ponds behind the hog barns. Yeah, you put the rest of that one together. We don't like to think about it too much, but the water that's floating around is not such great stuff. It's a bit contaminated. You hear the same thing when you hear about problems around the world when there are natural catastrophes, especially involving water. If there's been a flood or too much rain, it's the same kind of thing. The water is up. It mixes everything around. Many of them have shallow wells. They get contaminated. And so you hear about a place which has had too much water, and then they have a problem with no drinking water. That's how that one goes together. In the Tale of the Ancient Mariner, remember that one? Samuel Coleridge. There's a famous line, "Water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink." Remember that line? Some of you went to school, I'm sure. The problem there was that the mariner is out in the doldrums. There's no wind, so it can't blow this sailing ship along, and he's sitting there thirsty with water all around him. And the way that our bodies function when we drink water that has a lot of salt, it uses water internally to try and dilute that. Bottom line is, when you drink seawater, you get dehydrated. It's kind of the opposite of what you'd think water is supposed to do, right? The more you drink, the more dehydrated you become. So don't drink seawater is the bottom line there. This is what Jesus is telling the woman at the well. He's talking to her, as we've heard here, about spiritual thirst. And he says, you've had this spiritual thirst, and you've been trying to fill it with something else. This emptiness, this inner loneliness, and you've been trying to fill it with men, and it doesn't work. And I'm not suggesting to you that all men are like seawater. Some of us might be sometimes. But what he's saying was, when you have a spiritual thirst, you can't fill it with the wrong thing. Some of us experience the same thing. Even those of us who are followers of Jesus. It's like when you get married. You know, you get married, you're so in love, you can hardly stand it. In fact, we ship people off when they get married to have a honeymoon so we don't have to deal with the PDA. But, you know, give them some years, and sometimes some of that kind of calms down a little bit. In fact, sometimes it calms down too much when we don't attend to our marriages. And people start thinking, why did we get married again? And that happens in our Christian lives as well. And sometimes we've been all excited about following Jesus, and things kind of calm down, and we say, what's going on again? And that spiritual thirst comes up again in our lives. And we try and fill that with other things. And so a sense of contentment, which is part of having our spiritual thirst met, we try and fill that with things like consumerism. I just need another thing, and then I'm going to be content. Or we have this longing to be important and valuable, and we fill that with overwork or going to school or going to the gym to have the perfect body. Excuse me. And we do that so we have a sense of value. Or we want to be important, and we want to feel like we're important, and sometimes it gets depressing, and we land up trying to fill that with alcohol or pornography or things of that nature. MCC, just a little sidebar here, MCC has recently come out with a book on pornography. It's a real issue right now, and I'm sure some of you struggle with that as well. Anyhow, those kinds of things give a person a bit of a lift at the moment, and later on, when it wears off, we feel empty again and embarrassed, and what's this? We have a spiritual hunger, and we say, well, I guess I should go to church, or I should read that book that Oprah, some of you remember who she is, suggested. And it's like drinking seawater. It's water, but it doesn't really meet the need that we have in our lives. And we are left feeling somewhat empty. So anyhow, Jesus comes to this woman, and he starts talking with her. And as she looks at him, she begins to have a reflection of herself. She begins to see who she is. And she gets scared. And she tries to deflect the conversation. And she says, let's talk about gender. Well, you're a man and I'm a woman. And that didn't work. Jesus is still on track. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Let's talk about heritage. Our father, Jacob. Let's talk about religion. That'll usually get people off track. You worship this way, we worship that way. What's the right way to worship? And Jesus stays right on track. We do that sometimes too, whether what's within our church or in a Bible study or a care group or with our friends. When the conversation gets a little personal, and the next comment could be, you know, I've been feeling a little bit empty lately. Boy, we just want to take the off ramp and bring up something else, you know, like we talk about worship style or denomination, or we find some issue like homosexuality. And it, oh man, we almost had to talk about our spiritual life there for a moment. As Anabaptists, we get all wound up about talking about peace and justice or environmentalism or whatever. All these are wonderful topics. Unless they're topics that we bring up to bring us off the track of looking at our spiritual hunger. And Jesus is still standing there looking at the woman. And she's tried these off ramps and he's still there. And so finally she's ready. And she's ready probably because in Jesus she sees someone who isn't judging her. They're listening to her. And so she doesn't have to defend herself. I'll bet you, prior to this meeting, if you had asked this woman, why did your five marriages and however many relationships not work, she could have told you, well, this guy wasn't understanding enough, and this guy was too rude, and this, a reason for every one. There was always a reason why it didn't work. We get there? If you would know the family I grew up in, I'm being generous. Or the neighborhood. How am I supposed to do better in the neighborhood like this? Or look at the finances, or my church, it wasn't spiritual enough, or it was too spiritual, or they worried about this all the time. Or the weather, or the neighbor, or whatever. It's so easy to come up with reasons why things are the way they are. And the woman finally says, she looks at Jesus and she says, it's me. It's me. I'm thirsty and I've been drinking seawater. These men. And that's where I'm left. I'm left standing before God. And as we look into the face of God, we see who we really are. And I land up saying, it's me. I've been drinking seawater. I've been trying to fill the void in my life with stuff, and it doesn't work. And here's the wonderful part. Jesus doesn't come across with judgment. Well, finally you get it. It's the understanding. Jesus on the cross, carrying our sins, and when the Father turns away, Jesus understands at a very base level the thirst that we have in our soul. And I was wondering, as I was working on this, you know when Jesus is on the cross and he says, I thirst, and they give him a sponge and he turns away, I wonder if this is the thirst that he had. I wonder if that's Jesus saying, I understand what it means to have that vacancy in my life. I get it. I get it. And then we respond to God, or we're invited to respond to God, like the woman at the well. Isaiah 63 verse 1, you are my God. I am thirsty in a dry and barren land. We recognize that and we own that. We say, that's me. And then like the woman, we turn to Jesus and say, give me the water. Give me the water. Isaiah 55, 1. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the water. Come without money, buy and eat. Fabulous passage. Or that passage in Revelation 22, 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. All who are thirsty, come to the water, receive the free water that I would give. Now, the story doesn't go on to tell us of some great conversion that happened. It's just she was empty, and Jesus says, here it is. And we see the change in her life and what happened next. She's off to town. Off to all the people who have probably told her what a terrible person she is. And she's off to say to them, come and see someone who told me everything I ever did. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody said, come and meet someone who's going to tell you everything you ever did, I said, I think there's a really important show on right now. I'm not sure I want to hear, and I sure don't want other people to hear about this. As a church, traditionally, we've called this evangelism. And we've kind of mixed a little judgment in with it, haven't we? We've gone off there and we've told people what's wrong with them, just like I'm sure this woman did. I'm sure all her husbands and all her in-laws, for sure all her in-laws, and all her neighbors told her what was the matter with her. And you know what? Wonder of wonders, it didn't fix her. In fact, she's drinking water out in the country instead of in town because she's sick of hearing people say, if only you would. You know what's the matter with you? And here, she doesn't tell people what's the matter. She says, come and meet a man. And that's what we're invited to do. Once we've experienced that living water, we're invited to Experience it. Live with it. Let it change who we are, and it will. And then we're invited to say to others, when they're ready, with all the humility and love and gentleness and patience that Jesus had, come and meet a man. Come and meet a man. It's not ours to make them drink, right? We can't say to them, oh, now we're going to fix you. But rather, reflecting what it looks like to have finally had our thirst quenched, we go out and we say to people, come, meet the person who can give you the living water when you're ready. May God give us the honesty to face ourselves in Him and the gentleness to reflect that to the world around us. Amen. As I went to sit down, I realized there's maybe one more thing to say. If that's the tug in you, a sense that there's something missing, that there's a thirst going on, and you need someone to sit beside you as you sort that out, my door is always open. You're welcome. I'd like to invite you to stand for the benediction, for the final song. People of God, as you come honestly before God, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Please open your hymn books to number 434. Tuma Mina means fill me, Jesus, send me, Jesus, all those things that it says in English. So Liana will be the leader. peace.